We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
So good. I'm so thankful to be here with you today. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm the lead pastor here at Redemption Church. And I am here to tell you that, you hear the song, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm here to tell you it's the strangest time of the year. This is a strange time of year. Do you agree? Maybe you need some proof on this. Well, here it goes. In a matter of hours, we go from a solemn prayer of thanksgiving to trampling people for flat-screen TVs. It's true, right? We go from the kindness and closeness of people we love to mindless, heartless hordes where no one looks at each other. We're just off to get that item and then turn around. Don't look at another person because then they'll want to get in front of you. And then they kind of become a person and you might feel bad about trampling them, all right? After this season of materialism and reckless spending, many will do some soul searching as they form New Year resolutions. And one of the bigger things that they'll focus on is their finances and to make more time for what really matters. But in this moment, the strangeness of this season, all of that is out the window. We'll take care of our finances later. We'll try to find a way to pay off the credit card debt later. It's a strange time of the year. Yeah. For now, let's spin, and get out of my way. In a time where we should have peace, hope, and love, many people suffer the greatest depression, and many people commit suicide. More suicides happen during this strange time of year than any other time of year. It should be the time of peace, hope, and love. It's a strange time of year. And it's a time for strange arguments. There is a weird war of words. Look at somebody and say, weird war of words. And political correctness and religious zeal are butting heads. Are they holiday trees or Christmas trees? I find this to be laughable. Let me tell you. It was on the news. It's like, oh my goodness, the president referred to them not as Christmas trees, but holiday trees. So let's get two pundits out and let's argue about this very important fact. Let's not talk about the fact we're trillions of dollars in debt. Let's talk about word choice. He said holiday trees. So are they holiday trees? Or are they Christmas trees? Is it happy holidays? Or is it Merry Christmas? What is it? And some Christians, I'm sorry if you're in the room, I love you, but some Christians become militant during this season. And they're quick to tell you, it's Christmas, and don't you forget it, it's not Happy Holidays, and God forbid, it is not Xmas. They're replacing the baby Christ with an X.
Oh, no.
I've just lost the entire church, I'm afraid, Randall. All right, y'all come back to me. Y'all come back to me. Right? Do you agree? Say yes, it's kind of crazy out there right now in this season. You've probably heard the cliche, and it has become very much a cliche. Keep Christ in Christmas. Have you heard that? It's perfect for a bumper sticker, right? I want to ask you a question real quick. What does it really mean to keep Christ in Christmas? What does that really mean? Okay, we get your bumper sticker slogan and cliche, but what does it really mean to keep Christ in Christmas? Is it just a word game? Is it just semantics? Do Christians feel like they win if they get others to use the word Christmas? If we get an atheist to say the word Christmas, does an angel get its wings? Does that happen? It's really some nervousness in the room. All right, we'll pull this out. Promise, I promise. Trust me, I'm a professional. All right. Christianity has far too often become about the jargon. It's become about the language, the word choice, rather than about Christ, and rather than the life change that happens when we meet Christ. This is a strange time of year, and it's become far too apparent. We have argued to keep the word Christ in Christmas, but have failed to keep Christ in us. I'll say that again. I believe it with all my heart. We have argued to keep Christ in the word Christmas, but have failed to keep Christ in us. Can we stop it with the stupid name games? Can we just cut that out? I'm here to tell you that that isn't righteousness, it's self-righteousness. And furthermore, I want you to know that this is just another holiday, wait for it, without Christ. If we use the word Christ, but don't have Christ, let me tell you, that doesn't really accomplish much. But this holiday, the meaning of this holiday, the power of this season is Christ. And I would tell you that the strangeness of this season is that it is to be a season centered on Christ, but we have failed to do so. No, there's nothing wrong with a happy holiday. I love that. I just spent several days with my family that I hadn't seen in a long time. I really loved that. And family get-togethers, they're so great. They are very positive. I believe God loves it when we do that. But let me tell you, other holidays do that. So that's not what makes this holiday season so special. Okay? Right? I mean, we get together on July 4th. This is just another holiday, if that's all the meaning we're going to get from it. Now, there's nothing wrong with some time off from work. I should have gotten like amens out of that one. There is nothing wrong with some time off from work and having a little vacation and relaxing, right? Nothing wrong with that, but let me tell you, other holidays do that. Nothing wrong with buying gifts for one another, but guess what? Other special days do that. By the way, my birthday's coming up. I just want everyone to know. December 22nd. All right. Love you guys. All right. I'm going to start preaching better so you'll get me something. I'm telling you that this is just another holiday without the presence of Messiah, of Christ. And we can argue about keeping Christ in Christmas and only go as far as to change the word Happy Holiday to Merry Christmas. But that is far from the meaning of this season. I want to talk to you the next few moments about making this Messiah season. Look at somebody and say, Messiah season. I'm going to try to help you avoid the strangeness of the season. Let's make this a season where we are aware of the promise of a Savior and a Redeemer. Right. Messiah, that we throw out that word quite a bit. What does that word mean? In Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word, Messiah. Clear your throat when you say that. Mashiach, it means one who is anointed. And its meaning is deep and important. Anoint basically means to cover in oil. It's a pretty simple word to understand. When you anointed something, you covered it in oil. So the Messiah is this chosen one, this anointed one. To anoint something, it required three steps. Number one, you had to select the something you wanted to anoint. You had to select. Second, you had to separate it. Select, separate, and then you would cover it. God selected our Messiah. He looked down at the landscape of time and this universe that we're living in, and he chose the Messiah. He selected it. And then he separated that Messiah for a purpose. See, there is no anointing without purpose. Absolutely none. So he separated his Messiah for that purpose. And then he anointed, he covered that Messiah with power and glory. And when we see Jesus, when we read the story of Jesus, we see that he was like no one else. Would you agree? Jesus Christ is like no one else. Do you agree with that, Redemption Church? Jesus Christ is like no one else. I've met him in my life. He's like nobody else. We believe Jesus is the anointed one. We believe that he is the Messiah, chosen of God to save all of mankind. The word Messiah in Greek is Christ. That's the Greek equivalent for the word Messiah. So when you refer to Jesus Christ, let me tell you, Christ is not his last name. Christ is who he is, what he has been called to be. He is Jesus Messiah. We sang about him earlier, didn't we?
Yes.
Adam and Eve fell into sin. Everything in this world was so great until that moment. Adam and Eve fell into sin. Let me tell you that from the moment that they fell into sin, they were looking for the Messiah. Mankind had been looking for Messiah for a long time. Moses was looking for Messiah. Abraham was looking for Messiah. Read your Old Testament. Every prophet was looking for Messiah. King David was looking for Messiah. Solomon was looking for Messiah. Everybody's been looking for Messiah. The strangeness of this season is that we have stopped looking for Messiah. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and Eve says this in Genesis 4:25. Get a load of it. God has granted me. He's appointed me. He has separated me. Another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. All right, we know the very sad story of how Cain kills Abel. She has this child right here, and she looks at that child, and she realizes God has given me, he has granted me this child. Hebrew scholars believe her underlying thought was the Messiah. He is going to grant me a child in place of the heartache behind me. He is going to grant me a child that's going to rescue my Abel who has been slain by Cain. That was what she was underlying thinking far off in the future. I want you to know that the hope of all of the Bible patriarchs was in the Messiah. The hope of everyone is Messiah. Get a load of this. You've got Moses, he's standing at the Red Sea, and that Red Sea parts. What a great story. It's absolutely wonderful. Praise God. He doesn't need another thing, does he? Wrong. He told you he still needed the Messiah. Abraham walked and talked with God. He has an encounter where he sees God face to face. God comes into human form and talks to him, and it's just far out crazy. What what could Abraham possibly need? Well, he tells us he's looking and needing a Messiah. King David takes a small nation of Israel and puts it in prominence. It's the greatest nation on earth with King David on the throne. What else could he possibly need? He's defeated all his enemies. Oh, not so. Read Psalms. He tells you all over and over again that he is looking for the anointed one, the Holy One, the Messiah. Everybody, every hope is in the Messiah. So what is Messiah? Messiah is a promise. Messiah is a promise. A promise 1,000 years in the making. Thousands of years in the making, this promise was about the Messiah. Think about the plan of God to redeem mankind. Think about that plan. The Bible tells us that from the foundation of the earth, Christ was slain. That means when God is forming the earth, the foundation, the creation of the world, he is already promising Messiah. That's a big deal, right? That's kind of a big deal. Think about the enormity of a single prophetic promise from God being delivered by man. Think of the one promise that comes to mankind from God is always a big deal. But when we look at Messiah, we see over 300 promises and prophecies concerning Messiah. Yes. Now realize, we see the importance of one being fulfilled. Now realize what it means for that singular promise to be suddenly seen. To go from the moment of it being promised to the moment that now you can receive it. That's a pretty big change, right? That's what Jesus Christ is. That's why we should be filled with joy when we sing about Jesus. That's why you should be overwhelmed when you feel his presence. Because he is the thing. Do you realize what Adam and Eve would do to be able to go from promise to receiving? One day they're going to receive. They're going to see Jesus face to face. And you think in that moment they're going to be like, oh, cool. No, they're going to be flipping their lid. They're going to be going crazy. So what's wrong with us today? Not only do we have the promise, but we have the receiving of that promise in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. God is faithful to every last promise he's made. He is faithful to every prophecy that's ever been made. You mark my words. Don't think I'm smart here. This is just a duh statement. God has made a lot of prophecies about Jesus, about the Messiah. I believe every one of them is going to come true. Yeah. Amen. Every one of them. We aren't going to be like he's showing up and going, oh God, you missed one. No, every one of those promises are true because what he is faithful and true. We've talked about that the last few weeks. Every promise is going to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Every promise that he ever made to Israel, that he's going to redeem them, that he's going to restore them, that he's going to be with them, that he's going to save them, has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about this. We're so short-sighted when we read the Bible. We think about that promise that God makes. Israel, I'm going to deliver you. And then we go a little further and David kills Goliath and defeats the Philistines. Yay, that was what God was talking about. Whoa, you're looking way too small at the promise there. No, he's going to deliver them, not just from Goliath, but from sin, the fall of Adam and Eve. He's going to deliver them from that. And all of that isn't just fulfilled in one little stone went in the sling and the sling went round and round. Praise God for that moment. But God's promise is much bigger than that moment. It's Jesus. He is the fulfillment of every prophecy and promise of God. God says, I'll never leave you and forsake you. How does he fulfill that promise? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 says, I am with you even to the end of the age, even to the end of the world, I am with you. That promise is fulfilled in Jesus. We can't find a promise God makes that isn't fulfilled in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus is kind of a big deal. What if we made this season about faithfulness? What if we made this season about keeping promises? What if we were faithful like how God is faithful to his promise? Why don't we just decide right now, this strange season, let's make it about faithfulness. Because the Messiah is faithful. You think Christmas is about giving gifts? A lot of people think that. I know as a kid, I used to think that. Now I think it's about, gosh, let's not go into debt as we're giving gifts. All right. I want to tell you, though, that the Messiah is all about giving. He's giving. You can't find really one place in the Bible where Jesus took something. He really doesn't take. Anytime he took something, he usually gave it back multiplied. Like he took that little boy's fish and bread and he broke it. And then he gave it back multiplied so many that it fed 4,000, 5,000 people. Jesus isn't about taking things. He's about giving things. The Messiah is all about giving. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Selah. Selah means think on that. Daily loads us with benefits. When I leave Mimi and Cappy's house, I'm so glad they're with me today. That's my boys' grandparents right here. When I leave their house on Christmas, we have to load that car. Anyone, you ever experience having to load that car after Christmas? It's like, whoa, and you're just like, oh, we got all this stuff. It's so cool. And you load it up. It's like, I don't know how we're going to get it all. There's been some times where we've had to take several trips to get all this stuff, right? That's loading. Well, this tells us that this Messiah that's all about giving, he daily loads you with benefits. Not just once a year, daily. This Messiah is all about giving. He gives peace on earth. He gives atonement on earth. He gives goodwill on earth. He gives forgiveness on earth. He gives redemption on earth. He gives freedom from the curse of sin on earth. He gives joy on earth. On and on and on he gives you. And not just on December 25th. Daily, he loads us with benefits. The little baby laying in a feed trough was an open conduit to pour heaven's peace and blessings out on the earth. And everywhere he went, blessing flowed. And guess what? He still shows up today. He lives in our hearts. And blessing and peace flows because he's all about giving. Amen. What if we made this season about what Messiah has given? What if we made this season about what he has done? And why don't we use him as our example, not to always receive, but to give ourselves. Messiah is all about giving. That's because Messiah is all about others. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to earth not to receive, but to give. Your Messiah isn't self-centered. What if we, like Messiah, made this season about others? Not ourselves. Think what that season would be like. What would it look like if we made this Messiah season? What if we avoided materialism and greed that has taken over the season? It has taken over the season. We can use slogans like keep Christ and Christmas all we want, but the truth is greed and materialism has taken over the season. I want to give you an opportunity to change. I want you to find somewhere where you give without asking anything in return. We're going to be talking more about this next week. We're going to have several opportunities at the end of service next week for you to give to someone else. You can give time. You can give money. You can give your heart. There are several things. It's not just limited to money, but we want to give you opportunities to do that. We're going to be doing that next week. It's not just this holiday that centers on Messiah. Our faith, our hope, and our life centers on the hope, life, and faith that comes from Messiah. It comes from Him. What if we went through this Christmas season and it changed us for the rest of our life? I tell you that when you meet Messiah, He does just that. I remember being an angry, angry kid, a young kid full of suicidal thoughts, full of awful thoughts, not loving people. I remember that kid. He hated himself and he didn't like other people. But that kid, when he was 8 years old, found the Messiah, and it changed him forever. It didn't just change his love for God. I loved God, but then suddenly I started to love other people. Messiah does that. If you let Him into your life this season, it won't just end when January comes. Amen. He'll change your life. Now let me tell you, the purpose of this series is not, look at somebody and say, he said not. This is not what this series is about. The following: to demonize our culture. We aren't out to demonize the culture. Sure, there are things in the culture we look at and they aren't right, but we are not in war with the culture. If you went to Black Friday this Friday, we aren't warring against you. It's not our purpose to make you feel bad about that. Go out and get that great deal. Great. Try not to kill people and be malicious while you're doing it. All right. We aren't out to demonize our culture for the way they celebrate the season. And I've seen Christians do that. I've known Christianity that did that. I've known churches that have argued and threatened to split because someone had a Christmas tree in their home. And then they're like, oh, you shouldn't have Christmas trees and big stuff. Like, whatever. That's not what this series is about. And we aren't declaring war on Santa either, okay? We are challenging, however, ourselves to focus on the Messiah and to live out Messiah. We're going to focus our attention on the baby Jesus, but we're also going to try to live out Jesus. All right? Let's do that. The purpose of this series is not to appear or feel more spiritual because we are truly keeping Christ in Christmas. That's not the purpose of this season. Oh my goodness, those other people going after that special Christmas deal, we are so much more spiritual than that. Whatever the fact anyone would think that means you aren't spiritual, you're super spiritual, self-righteous. That is not what we are about. We repent of self-righteousness. It's one of the biggest things Christians need to repent over and focus on the only one who brings righteousness into the world. There's not one thing you can do to bring righteousness in the world. Only God could bring righteousness in the world. And He did that in a manger about 2,000 years ago. And the purpose of this series is to place this season in its proper perspective. The purpose of this series is to understand the promise of Messiah. And it's such a huge promise. And as we understand the true hope of this season, we want to share it in authentic ways, in real ways. I want to talk to you, as we're about to close here, about the three gifts. If my wife is in here, Sarah, could you come up to the stage and start playing for me? I want to talk to you about three gifts. You know about these gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. Messiah was celebrated by magi. And a lot of people think it's three magi, you know, the three wise men. But we actually don't have any scripture that says there's three. But because there's three gifts, people think there's three wise men. Whatever, not a big deal. These wise men, they traveled from the east. They traveled a long way. Most people think they traveled about 900 miles. That's a lot of mileage to put on a camel. These three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, encapsulate the threefold promise of Messiah. There are three things that all the prophecies promised Messiah would be. And they are encapsulated right in front of you. You've told the story and heard the story all these years, but you've never seen the threefold promise of Messiah in these three gifts. And we will make that the focus of the series. Next week, we're going to talk about the gold that is offered to a king in a manger. That's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to remind you to make this a season about giving, about surrendering your time, your money, your heart to the king. We want to give you an opportunity to reach out to others. We're going to do that next week. I want you to be excited about it. All right. I believe something really spiritual happens when we let go of ourselves and we grab onto the Messiah and we help others. Amen. It's powerful. Between now and then, I want you to pray about what Messiah would have you do in this season. About what he would have you give. About the time he wants you to give to others. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church. We've worshiped God together. We sang some Christmas carols. We sang about how he's our Messiah. We've received the Word of God. That's number two. We just had a real simple sermon today about how Jesus is the Messiah and how the promise of that is huge. You've done those two things. It's time to do the third thing. Number three is when we come to the house of God together, we make sure we talk to God. We're going to open up this altar, and I want to challenge you to take one step from your chair. At least one step. Take one step. If this is all new to you, at least move over one step. Just humor me in that, okay? Just take one step over, okay? Just do that much. But when you are taking that step, I want you to say yes to the Word of God you just received. I want you to say, yes, God, you revealed Messiah to me. And you reveal that promise.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.